Translation. Let me offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Transcendence, who is eternally distinguished by His internal potency. His indistinguishable impersonal feature is realized by intelligence for self-realization. I offer my obeisances unto Him, who by His pastimes enjoys the creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the cosmic manifestation. So please repeat after me. Let me offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Transcendence, who is eternally distinguished by His internal potency. His indistinguishable impersonal feature is realized by intelligence for self-realization. I offer my obeisances unto Him who by His pastimes enjoys the creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the cosmic manifestation. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The Supreme Lord is eternally distinguished from the living entities by His internal potency. Although He is also understood in His impersonal feature by self-realized intelligence. Devotees of the Lord, therefore, offer all respectful obeisances unto the impersonal feature of the Lord. The word rasa is significant herein. The rasa dance is performed by Lord Krishna in the company of the cowherd damsels at Vrindavan. And the personality of Godhead, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, is also engaged in rasa enjoyment with His external potency, by which He creates, maintains, and dissolves the entire material manifestation. Indirectly, Lord Brahma offers His respectful obeisances unto Lord Sri Krishna, who is factually ever engaged in rasa enjoyment with the gopis, as confirmed in the Gopala Tapani Upanishad in the following words: Paratante so abhudyata gopavesha me purusha prapurushat avirbha bhuva. The distinction between the Lord and the living entity is definitely experienced when there is sufficient intelligence to understand His internal potency as distinguished from the external potency by which He makes possible the material manifestation. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Jnana Jnana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaha Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Sa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Shri Radha Krishna Radha Krishna Padan Sahita Shri Vishakan Vitam Sa. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Rupyasya Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So let me offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Transcendence, who is eternally distinguished by His internal potency. His indistinguishable impersonal feature is realized by intelligence for self-realization. I offer my obeisances unto Him who by His pastimes enjoys the creation, maintenance and dissolution of the cosmic manifestation. So here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions the Rasalila pastimes. So one in Vrindavan is with the gopis, damsels of Raja Bhumi. And another one is through His expansion as Garbhodaksha Vishnu for creating, maintaining and dissolution of the cosmic manifestation. So the rasa, the enjoying element, is equivalent in both cases. Now this is normally not understood by ordinary people like myself. It is only understood by devotees, sincere devotees who have no passion and ignorance and even goodness. They are in a mode of pure goodness. So once you are in the mode of pure goodness, which, believe it or not, is present in devotees who are following Krishna consciousness, introduced by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So our mission in ISKCON is to convert, or transform is the right word, people who are in the mode of ignorance and passion, at least elevate them to the mode of goodness, and then from goodness they can come to transcendental goodness, which is called Vishuddha Sattva. Vishuddha Sattva. So that platform is beyond, above the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion and ignorance. So our mission in ISKCON is to elevate everyone around the world to come out of the mode of ignorance and passion, at least rise to the level of goodness, and then from goodness they can hopefully, when they meet a devotee of Krishna, read Srila Prabhupada's books, they can now become transcendentally situated. So this is our aim and project. So let us discuss from the purport. There are different, in the translation, there are different words used. So I want to go to my notes somewhere. Yes, I have notes. We want to aim to try to get to this pure devotional service level, which is defined here as Anya Bilasita Sunyam, Jnana Karmari Anavritam, Anukulyena Krishnanu, Shilamanam Bhaktir Uttama. What does that mean? So let's seriously concentrate on each sort of sentence or word. So first one is Anya Bilasita Sunyam. Without desires other than those for the service of Lord Krishna, or without material desires. And in brackets it says, no meat eating, illicit sex, gambling and addiction to intoxicants. So no intoxication. The four regulative principles. Krishna consciousness is basically, whoever wants to follow, they have to follow these four regulative principles and chant 16 rounds minimum. Before it was 64 rounds, but now Srila Prabhupada is being very merciful and compassionate, and he actually wants more service to be done. That's why he is saying 16 rounds should be enough, minimum 16 rounds, so that you can do some service for Krishna. I've mentioned before that Gadadhara Prabhu, when he obviously talks sometimes confidentially, sometimes openly, he says so many initiations, so many Brahman initiations are taking place. But how many of the new Brahmins want to actually serve the Lord? So percentage is very low, and this hopefully the management will develop a structure whereby everyone can get involved more in devotional service or deity worship or related to deity worship. So they can engage themselves in archana. Archana, it's a devotion service. So three things one should do, Srila Prabhupada says. One is Shravanam, here, and Kirtanam, you know, broadcast, and archana. Three main items of any progress in devotional service. So let's go back where we were. So anyabilasita sunya means without desires, without material desires. Jnana means by the knowledge of the philosophy of the monist Mayavadis, that's their inclination. They just want to study and study and study. And the perfect example in our stories at the moment, Vidura is asking questions to Maitreya Muni. So Vidura was not present when Krishna almost left his, he finished his pastimes on the earthly planet. So Uddhava was present. And Uddhava is a pure devotee of Krishna. He's also a cousin. But in instructions by Krishna to Uddhava, he, in Prabhakshetra, it's near Dwarka, not far, Uddhava was there listening to Krishna. At the same time, Krishna arranged for Maitreya Muni to arrive there. So Maitreya Muni, a very senior sage, he wasn't called a devotee then, because he was just sage and he was sitting next to Krishna and hearing what Krishna was instructing Uddhava. And Uddhava's final instruction from Krishna was to go to Badrik Ashram and discuss exactly what he discussed with him, you know, during that time. Maitreya Muni also heard all this. And after hearing all this, he was also in the Jnana platform previously. So he only knew that, by knowledge we can approach Krishna. So by hearing this intimate conversation, it says in the 10.9, Machitta matta gata prana bodhyanta parasparam kathiyanta stamam nityam tushyantya ramanticha. So between two exalted, you know, one is Bhagwan, Krishna, and one is Uddhava. So that conversation was actually heard by Maitreya Muni. So from his jnana platform, the impersonal realization platform, he actually came to the devotional service platform. So how did that happen? Because they met, Maitreya Muni actually met a devotee of Krishna. So we all are very lucky in ISKCON that we can meet pure devotees. Srila Prabhupada has actually transformed ordinary people into Mahabhagavats. And now Mahabhagavats are actually guiding us in devotional service. So we are very fortunate to be taking part in ISKCON. Okay, so in the next one. So Jnana is knowledge. And then Maitreya Muni, he actually changes from his Jnana platform to the Bhakti platform. So now he's a devotee. That's why when Vidura was asking questions to Uddhava, Uddhava said, it is better that Maitreya Muni answers your questions, because number one, he's elderly. Number two, he's like, you know, your father or whatever. So it's a better relationship. And we will avoid offense called maryada vyatikrama. Maryada vyatikrama. So anyway, let's move on. Karma. By fruitive activities. Most people, 99.9% in the world, they want to work and then they want to enjoy the fruits. So that's karma. Karma, karmic activities. You do something and then you get a reaction. Do good things, you become pious. You do bad things, you become impious. So it takes lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes of doing good karma so that once you become pious, then you might get the position of somebody in Vrindavan Dham. All the gopis, all the devotees in Vrindavan, they have built up a lot of pious activities in favorable condition to Krishna, and that's why they're taking part in Vrindavan pastimes. Adi, by artificially practicing detachment. But this automatically comes in Krishna consciousness. Vairagya and Jnana. Jnana and Vairagya. See, there was an old lady called Bhaktimati, or young lady called Bhaktimati, but she had two children, Vairagya and Jnana. But they were very old, very elderly. So she was asking everyone, you know, what is happening here? And finally, Narad Muni, as he always travels around, he meets her and says, what is the problem? You look very upset and you're not yourself, you know. Bhaktimati is supposed to be, you know, energy, full of energy of devotional service. So what's going on here? So then Krishna arranges for Narad Muni as a spiritual master to help her out. So then Narad Muni is instructed to read Srimad Bhagavatam. And after reading Srimad Bhagavatam, these two sons, Jnana and Vairagya, they actually wake up and they are transformed into young sons of Bhaktimati. So that's the story of Jnana and Vairagya. But in devotional service, bhakti, these two are side. What is it? It's called, in medicine, you know, you get some tablet from the doctor. There are some side effects. So here, just by chanting or following the nine processes of devotional service, bhakti yoga, automatically jnana, knowledge comes, because you are actually studying Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. So jnana automatically comes. But what is the side effect? The side effect is vairagya. You get detached from material influences, material desires. So when you read more and more Bhagavatam, you get less and less material desires. This is the idea. That's why Srila Prabhupada took out a book, wrote a book called Science of Self-Realization. Once you realize your self-realization, you know, you have to do something for Krishna, then you're halfway there. So, artificially practicing detachment by the mechanical practice of yoga, by studying the Sankhya philosophy and so on, by studying Krishna Katha, basically, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Anavritam, not covered. Anukulyena, favorable. So, Kans, he was doing Krishna service, you know, always remembering Krishna, but that was unfavorable. We have to do favorable devotional service. So, in our pujari department, everyone's enthusiastic that I've got a chance to serve, I've got a chance, opportunity to actually dress the deity, perform aarti. This is all personal service, very sincere service, it's in a once in a lifetime. If you get a chance, you should take it. And it is so wonderful. It is wonderful. It's simple. One cannot describe the happiness derived from devotional service. Yesterday, we had heard a lot of examples of Sankirtan devotees. And it was really, for my mind, anyway, it was very auspicious to hear when they got stuck with the van, Sankirtan van, and they approached the first door. And the man who came out, he actually started doing devotional service, finished, that I'm going to help them get the man out of the trouble, mud, whatever, yes? So he instinctively wanted to serve the devotees of Krishna. And then he also mentioned that he has read some Bhagavatam, first canto. So now he's lucky that he has read Bhagavatam. So now he wants to do some service. So that's natural. People want to serve. People want to serve. Yesterday somebody broke down outside my house, and then I got information that somebody's broken out on my driveway or whatever. But I don't know, I instinctively, it came to me because I'm that type of person. So I went out and I said, it's a bit cold, do you want a cup of tea or coffee? And they were just completely, taken aback that how can somebody offer me a cup of tea and coffee? They couldn't understand the culture at all. They were just taken aback. Anyway, so I offered them, and they were very happy, and they said, you don't know us, and you gave us something. You're a very kind man. I said, this is our culture, actually. We see somebody in trouble, we try and help them. So, anyway, that was me, and that was a sidetrack. Let's see. Cultivation of service in relationship to Krishna. Anushilanam. Cultivation of service in relation to Krishna. So Vidura always mentions here questions to Maitreya Muni. I want to hear more about Krishna. I want to hear more about Krishna. I want to hear more about Krishna. So his mood is to keep listening about Krishna. He already knew it, but he is giving an example to us that we should also try and hear and hear and hear about Krishna. That is called Bhakti Uttama, first class devotional service. So I won't repeat everything there. It is there. Okay, let's move on to another section. I can't. Okay. Sorry, I'm going to go to the verse where it said about personal and impersonal features of the Absolute Truth. See, there is a mention of impersonal feature. Personal, we know that Krishna, being Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is in Vrindavan all the time. He likes his pastimes like, rasa dance with the gopis. We know that. But what we didn't know, or what I did not know, is the impersonal aspect, the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, also enjoying rasa lila pastimes in creation, maintenance and destruction. So Srila Prabhupada, in one of the magazines of Back to Godhead, he has explained this very nicely. So I'll just briefly go through that. And the title is Personal and Impersonal Features of the Absolute Truth. So what does Srila Prabhupada say? He compares, he gives an example of the sun. Just as the illumination of a fire situated in one place is spread all over, the energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parabrahma, are spread all over this universe. So, this energy, Mahavishnu, the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and then Shirodakshaya Vishnu, there are three expansions. They are called Purusha incarnations of Krishna. And Krishna and these incarnations, they are all equipotent. They're all same, energy-wise. Krishna's energy and Krishna is one and the same. But we have to understand that the energetic is only one, that is Krishna. But all his energies are equivalent. So these creation, maintenance and destruction is also part of his energies. So also now I can understand that this rasa is also there when he's creating or destroying this. So this we have to understand. So let's see Okay. The sun's illumination is hot. Moon's illumination is cool. Very soothing. Krishna is so kind that both things are there and both things are required. Krishna says, I am the light of the sun and moon. But foolish persons challenge, can you show me God? So then Srila Prabhupada says, this example, everyone knows sunshine. But not everyone is aware of the temperature of the sun or the person within the sun. Krishna actually, in the fourth canto, he said, Arjun, you don't remember what has happened in the past, but I do. I spoke Bhagavad Gita millions of years ago to sun god, Vivashvan. So his name is Vivashvan. But he's a personality, he's a person. So we have to understand that, you know, we are talking about person, not impersonal. So Krishna is giving this example of the sun. Sun is a person. Around the sun is the sun planet. And the sun rays are also part of the sun. So sun rays are compared to Brahman realization. The planet is more or less compared to impersonal realization. Jnana realization, and sun planet or Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a personality of Godhead. So sun is a person, his name is Vivashvan, and these scientists don't know, they just know the impersonal aspect, but Krishna is giving us the personal aspect. So let's see what Prabhupada mentioned here. Okay, like the sunshine and the moonshine, the potencies of the Supreme Lord are working everywhere. There are different potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead situated in their own place, and they are influencing the creation. So, then Krishna in Golok Vrindavan playing with his coward boyfriends, the gopis, etc. And he's expanded all over the creation. But Krishna doesn't reveal this to everyone. In Bhagavad Gita 9.11, he says, Avajanti na muda, mam muda. He doesn't reveal to the foolish people. Okay, let's move on. We don't have much time, it's quarter past now. Let's go back. Okay. How do I go back here? Alright. Now there are two verses in the Bhagavad Gita which actually tells us how to perform devotional service. Yeah? And that is Manmana Bhakto, I think it is here, there you are. Mam Yaji, Mam Namaskuru, Mam Vaivashyasi, Yuktvayvam, Atman Mam, Mat Parayanaha. So this one, translation 934, this one. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee, offer obeisances to me and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. And then, of course, the other verse is 1865. I think, yeah, 1865. It's the same start. Man mana bhava mad bhakto mad yaji mam namaskuru mam evashyasi satyam te prati jane priyosmi me. So there, the translation is more or less same. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. So this is most confidential knowledge, how to become a pure devotee of Krishna. But we in ISKCON are trying to give information to mass of people how to become pure devotees of Krishna. So we are trying to raise them from more passion and ignorance to goodness, and then once they come to Krishna consciousness, then the three modes actually don't take part if you are concentrating on Krishna. And then you are in transcendental mode of goodness. So, what's the other one which I wanted to talk about?
Yes, I'll come to that. Let's see. The Supreme Lord is distinguished from living entities by internal potency. So we discussed that devotees, Uddhava, was a pure devotee. So by internal potency, Krishna's internal potency, everything can be, he can perform his pastimes. Although he is understood in his impersonal future by self-realized intelligence. So, as I mentioned earlier, Maitri Muni was Jnani. But because of the association of Uddhava, he became a devotee, a pure devotee. So he can realize, he realized already the impersonal future. But now he can realize the personal future of Krishna. Rasa is important because, you know, this is Krishna's eternal pastimes. And then Lord Brahma offers his respectful obeisances. The story about Lord Brahma being instructed by Krishna is in the first verse of the first canto. Tene Brahma Hridaye Adi Kave. So Krishna is actually already told Brahma all these instructions. But what is happening now is that Maitreya Muni is hearing what Krishna is speaking to Uddhava. The same story, the same instruction. And he has asked Uddhava to go to Badrikashram and speak the same instructions to the sages of Badrikashram. And he told, Uddhava told Vidur to go and meet Maitreya at Haridwar. So this is where the story is at the moment. And the last line of the paragraph, the purport, distinction between the Lord and the living entity is definitely experienced when there is sufficient intelligence to understand his internal potency as distinguished from the external potency by which he makes possible the material manifestation. So there, the external potency is used by Krishna to create, maintain and destroy. So that's the main gist there. Okay. I will open up to questions now. Yes. Please, any questions, comments, improve my mistakes or something, or point out my mistakes. Hare Krishna. Thank you for listening very attentively. Yes, mic is coming over.
Can you please say something about devotional service in the modes of nature? This is explained in the beginning of the third canto that in the beginning we are still under the influence of the modes of nature even though we've taken to devotional service.
Yes, I can explain that a little bit because I heard this from His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj. When we actually start devotional service or take up devotional service, the reactions of past misdeeds or sinful activities stop. We stop accruing those desires or sinful reactions. He compared it to a fan. When you start Krishna consciousness, the fan of these sinful activities, etc., you switch off. So it no longer takes part, affects you. But if you see a fan, it is still moving. Even after you switch off the electricity, the switch, if you switch off, the fan still goes in circles. So this is affecting us still. This is what is meant in the early part of the Canto 3. We are still affected by material nature. Although we are in the spiritual nature, we are in the temple, we are really chanting nicely, etc. But the past few sinful activities, karma, because of the karma, it will affect us. So we have to rise above that, or we have to get a spiritual master who can take these weeds out. They are like the weeds in our creeper of devotional service. So we have to take that out. And the only way to take the weeds out is to employ services of a gardener. And the gardener is a spiritual master. Yes? Does that help you a little? Okay. Any questions this side or that side? Mataji? You want to comment or no? Yeah. No?
Not today.
Not today, okay. Srinivas Prabhu, please give the mic to Srinivas.
So this thing about Gaudiya Garsha Vishnu enjoying the, like Krishna enjoying Ras dance, he's enjoying the Ras dance with the external energy. So how do we understand that?
Yeah, this was difficult for me to understand, but it is a good question. But in the purport and in what I just mentioned in the class, it's the energy of Krishna. So Krishna's energies, this incarnations as Karanadakshaya Vishnu or Mahavishnu, and then Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and then Shirodakshaya Vishnu, is the same, it's equipotent, it's same. That's how I understood. After researching, it is the same. So even Garbhadakshaya Vishnu can have this rasa with creation and this and that. So a true example of Srila Prabhupada, he came with 40 rupees to America, but he didn't expect, he said in his prayers, you know, make me dance, make me do, you know, whatever. So, but what happened? From that 40 rupees, he mentioned somewhere in one of the classes, is now 40 crores minimum. But what happened there is actually Krishna's incarnation as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave that energy to his disciples, his six Goswamis. Srila Prabhupada read all those Goswamis' instructions. He, or rather, his Guru Maharaj heard. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, then he tells, instructs Srila Prabhupada. And then Srila Prabhupada just followed one instruction. Exactly what he heard from his Guru Maharaj. And that's why he was successful. Vyavyas Atmika Buddhi. Just focus on one thing, what your Guru Maharaj says, and just do it. And that's the power. And that's why all the powerful incarnations of Krishna can do the same thing. So Srila Prabhupada managed to open 108 temples. Not easy. But because of the energy from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you have to distribute this Krishna Katha. Krishna Katha is what? Bhagavad Gita spoken by Krishna and Bhagavatam stories about Krishna and his devotees. We just preach those two books to everyone and anybody. And I'm so fortunate that Maharaj has told me to do that. So I'll be traveling soon once my body is okay. And that's the purpose of ISKCON. We go, we learn what we learn, which is called Shravanam, hearing, and then Kirtanam, we glorify. And I've learned so many times that if you learn one-to-one or get a partner and then you discuss, this is how I passed my exams in the universities or whatever. You know why? I'll tell you, I was playing a lot. But exam time, I learn one-to-one or discuss one-to-one all the questions and answers. I have a partner. And then by discussing, we learn. And then in the exam, we pass. Yes, Prabhu. Wait for this, because then people on
the example you gave just now, so we can understand that through the pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan, Krishna is enjoying that money,
yes,
or facilities. He doesn't directly enjoy, but through the pastimes. Can we say that? Like your example.
He's enjoying what?
Like you said, that Prabhupada, that 40 rupees became 40 million. So that, we can see it's material, money is material, but through the pastime we can see that he's actually enjoying even the money through the Sankirtan movement. Money is now spiritualized, isn't it?
Yes, yes, agreed. Agreed.
Thank you for the class. I have one question about, you mentioned about how Uddhava told Vidura to go and ask Maitreya Rishi for the...
Uddhava.
You mentioned how Uddhava did not share the knowledge which Krishna told him and go and ask Maitreya Rishi.
Yes.
So what if a senior devotee wants you to share something? Well, as an etiquette, you can't really, like... Uddhava didn't really share the knowledge, but he chose someone like Vidura, who was senior, to go and ask someone else. So what can you do?
Vidura is taking the humble position. Uddhava is taking the humble position. So he knows all the knowledge. Yeah. He can give it to Vidura. But he chose that he has been given an instruction. Uddhava has been given instruction to go to Bhadrikasha. So sometimes when a Guru Maharaj gives you instruction, that is a higher goal in life than helping somebody else. Yeah, you can always help. But Uddhava was given instruction, go to Bhadrikasha. So what he did is that because Maitreya Muni was present at the same time and he understood the same instructions from Krishna, so it was easier for him to just say, why don't you meet Maitreya Muni at Haridwar? So both went on their separate ways. One went to Bhadrikashram this way, direct. Another one went to Haridwar to meet Maitreya Muni. So Vidura is actually meeting Maitreya Muni in Haridwar. Yeah, but Vidura could have, Uddhava could have taught Vidura, but he was given a specific instruction. So he was following the Guru's, Krishna's instruction. That is higher.
Yeah, but in like practice, like day-to-day practice, if a senior devotee asks you to share something, is that like breaching the etiquette?
No. They're trying to help you. Okay. It's like a test. Do you know your four seed verses of Bhagavad Gita? It's good. Maharaj used to tell all of us, whenever he's around the world or wherever, memorize these four slokas. He is such an elevated soul, he knows it inside out, he knows the whole meaning of the four verses. But why is he telling us? We are just, low materialists, We are in the material world and we don't know anything about spiritual world. So such a great, elevated sannyasi tells us how to just do basic thing. It's for us. Vidura is not telling, he already knows all these things. He knows this. Arjuna already knows that. They are pure devotees of Krishna. But the instructions of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are realized by, they are giving examples. Vidura is an example and Arjuna is an example. And they are teaching through their, they are nimitta matram. They are actually instruments by Krishna. Krishna is using them to tell us instructions. They give us instructions how to improve. So what Vidura is asking question, not for himself. He is asking for on our behalf. Yes? So if somebody asks you a question, try and answer. And if you don't know the answer, ask him what is the answer and how should I learn, how should I practice. That way we become slowly stronger in our devotional service and go forward. Always discuss with somebody who is senior. The one who is equal, you can become friends. Yeah, you are all same level, then you discuss among yourself. Yeah, one who is lower than you, you think, he's just first timer coming in the temple, just taking darshan, and he asks you a question, you have to be compassionate to him. You have to be very kind to him. Tell him, you know, start reading one verse a day of Bhagavad Gita or something like that. Yeah? But then to somebody who's read the Bhagavad Gita, then you tell him, why don't you try Srimad Bhagavatam? Somebody who's read the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, take a set of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yeah? At the moment, that is the promotion, you know, become a gardener or help become a gardener. Something like that. There's a mission going on. Sorry, Srinivas first, then yourself, is okay? Yeah.
You know, you mentioned about a senior devotee. Where does this etiquette come in? Maryadam et petikram. How does that fit in? If a senior devotee is there, if a junior devotee is...
No, basically, maryada vratikrama is an offense. Not many people know this, but it's an offense when you are trying to intercept a higher authority. You know, say for example, this Prabhu is asking you, for example. And then I say, why are you approaching him? Approach this Mataji, she's senior, or whatever, you know? So, one has to know which level the devotee is. Maharaj is highest. So, if a disciple says, I know more than Maharaj, yes? Although he may be a PhD or whatever, yeah? Inverted commas. But if he thinks he knows more than his Guru Maharaj, that is called Maryada Vratikrama.
Oh, okay.
Okay. It's an offense.
Okay.
Last comment there for Mataji. No, it's okay.
I just identified with you with the exams. I actually never studied. I didn't like teaching. And I was very playful because I was a late developer, you know, the way I was brought up, very protected. Girls were... And it was lastminute.com for me as well, you know, just discussing and sharing. That is how I learned.
Very good.
And that's how I passed my exam. And Prabhu, I think you mentioned about Krishna is the internal energy, I think, and external is Vishnu. I couldn't understand that because Vishnu appeared before Krishna. I just wondered.
Right, okay. So
was that... Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. Krishna has all the energies, internal and external.
Yes, that's right.
Okay? And we are marginal.
Okay.
We are marginal potency. There's spiritual potency, there's material potency, and then we are marginal potency. We belong to the marginal potency. Now, with regard to Krishna, his internal potency, he can do any pastimes he likes. And with his external energy, he can actually... with the internal energy, he can become whatever he wants. So he wants to become these three Purusha avatars. He expands. Krishna is one, but he expands into many incarnations. So there is another verse called Ete Chamsa Pumsha. So that one, he says that incarnations and expansions from expansions, portions and portions of the expansions, they come out of Krishna. But he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the origin. He is the original. He is Swayam Bhagwan. Krishna is Swayam Bhagwan. Krishna is one. And all these expansions are his energies. So Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Shirodakshaya Vishnu are his expansions. This is internal energy. But through the external energy, he has created this maya, this material world. Now you follow?
So in other words, he acted as a demigod in that sense, no? Demigods don't do any energies, do they? They just...
No. Demigods are also by him, produced by him.
Okay.
Through what energy?
Well, you see, external, material.
Yeah, because Brahma is in charge of creation, secondary incarnation.
Yeah. material energy, but Vishnu is a lot more in the God, Krishna's side than demigods, isn't he? I mean, he
Vishnu is Krishna.
Yes, that's right.
So four-handed form of Krishna is called Vishnu.
Yeah. So in that sense, he's classed as a demigod if he's external, is material.
No.
Material energy.
He's not a demigod.
Oh no, I just wondered because I get confused with Vishnu being, you know, not celebrated as much as Krishna.
No, I understand what you're trying to say, I think. There's Vishnu, and there's Brahma, and then there's Shiva.
Yes.
Brahma and Shiva are affected by the material modes. Vishnu is not. Vishnu is just in charge of maintenance.
Yeah, he's responsible for it.
But he is not affected by material
no,
world.
No, he's not affected.
Okay, he's spiritual.
Ah, you got it now.
Yes?
Yes, I struggled with that a long time.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.